Go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but we have today, like Gay likes to share. This could be this day, that your last opportunity to really give God your all. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Not just us up here, all of us. And even if you don't like singing, rejoice in your heart. Enter into the presence of God and His goodness and His mercies this morning. We just thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord, that you have made. And Lord, we thank you for being in our lives, most of all, that we are your children and that you love us with an everlasting love. And Father, I pray that today, Lord, that your perfect will, your divine purposes and plans that you have decreed already in heaven for us here in this place, Lord, would be fulfilled. Lord, that nothing that the enemy has schemed or planned or tried to cause to happen in our lives, Lord, would have any success, but that your will would be done here in our midst. Your will would be done in our lives. Your kingdom would come and be established in our hearts. We just thank you, Lord, for this day.
Choose you now. Sing. You have
scripture to read before we sing this song. John 7:37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." lives today, Lord. We just invite you to be more evident and real to all of us on a daily basis, not just this morning, Lord, but throughout this week and the coming days and the coming months and the coming years. Holy Spirit, have full reign and rulership in our lives. Take leadership, Lord, of our decisions and our direction for life. We just yield and surrender to your will and ways, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that our eyes are open to you and to the miracles that you do every day in our lives. Lord, we're living in a time where everything that is wrong and everything that is evil and everything that is hurtful is pushed forward into our visuals. Lord, what we see on the TV, what we hear in the news, Lord, all of that, Lord, is to drain our hope, Heavenly Father, Lord. And I just pray that you continue to pour hope into us and let us pour hope out unto those around us, Lord. We just thank you for your forever faithfulness, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we just thank you for your forever hope, Lord. And let us pour that out onto the people around us so that way when they're hearing the negativity and they're hearing the wrong, Lord, that they will see your hope evident, Lord, in us and want a part of that, Lord, and that your hope will become evident in them, Lord. And we just thank you for it.
Yesterday we were cleaning up the yard, raking the leaves, and I was weeding out this kind of like a raised herb bed I have, and some of those roots were going so deep that I couldn't pull them out. And I was like, honey, help me, I can't pull these out. And so the day went on, and there's a person in our church that has been on my heart all week, and she needs our prayers. And I'm not going to call her out and not going to say who it is, but I was laying down to go to sleep last night. She was on my heart because she has roots so deep in her heart that need to be pulled so that the Lord can work in her. And so his blood, his strength can flow through her, so she can feel him. Some of us don't need that. Some of us have Jesus running through them, and their roots aren't that deep that need to be pulled for him to feel in to yourself. but I just can't let her go. I can't. She's just really laying heavy on my heart. And so I just ask that everybody would just pray, because God knows. God knows her heart. God knows her thoughts. God knows her mind. And I am not going to give up on her, because I know that He will move into her life and He will heal her hardened heart.
We're not going to name the individual, but we're going to pray. Father, right now we just bring our sister before your throne of grace. Lord, your word says that we can come to your throne, Lord, in time of when we need help, in time of need, Lord, and our sister needs help, Lord. So we stand in the gap as intercessors right now for our sister, Lord. And you know who she is. You know who's on Tara's heart, Father. So we just ask right now, Lord, that you would do what only you can do, Lord, and that's bring healing. You can bring transformation to her heart. Lord, we pray that the roots that the enemy has planted, Lord, would dry and wither up from the very root, from the very, very depth of the root, that it would dry and wither up, Lord, and die in Jesus' name. And Lord, that in that stead, in that place, Lord, that you would put your love. Lord, that you would fill those vacant root areas, Lord, with love. Lord, that love would just permeate every area of her heart deep down, Lord, that she would be known as a person with the love of God, that she would be known as a person that when people are around her, Lord, they know love, Lord. And so we stand, Lord, with our sister right now, and we say, enemy, you have no more access into her heart. As she's not able to cry out for herself, Lord, we cry out to that deep, Lord, that's inside of her, that's you, that it would rise up, Lord, and it would become a seed, a tree of life, Lord, that she could feed on and others, Lord, could feed on. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so I know we're doing it just last week, but we've been requested to keep it like this, just so that we don't get so caught up in tradition. No, it's actually so that Phyllis can hear better, right? Because you can hear me better when I'm here, which is you can too. Okay, well there we go. Now this side can't hear me, but that's okay. It's the sound man's fault. It's not my fault. Right.
One finger has all the power.
What's that?
All the deaf ones are sitting.
Oh, all the deaf ones. Okay. Well, all right. So you must not just be hearing me from the speakers. You must be hearing me when I talk right here. So that dynamic. And I have a tendency to lean the way that I'm sitting, so I may not look over at you guys as much, but just know that you're all loved, okay? If I don't stare at you, which I shouldn't stare at you anyway, but you know, if I don't look your way, just know that that you're loved, okay? So Roger and I were having coffee on Friday, and so you can blame this whole scripture on Roger. No, I don't know how we ended up to it, but we ended up going to 2 Timothy 3:1-7, and how many know that, well, you actually prayed it. How many, and maybe the Holy Spirit was already guiding you down that trail, which, you know, he can do that. You know, he's very faithful, and we prayed for his will to be done here today. So the idea that things continue to seem to be getting darker, you know, it tends to be more evident all the time that there's a greater, you know, division between, you know, right and left in political views, moral rightness and, you know, and depravity, you know, in some views, you know, and those kind of sometimes go together, sometimes they don't. In godlessness, seems to be running rampant, and an ever increasing God hungriness at the same time. That there's individuals that they're not satisfied unless they can just get all that God has for them, and not like from a greedy, wanting to heap up, just knowledge for knowledge's sake, but to know the Lord. And so when we were reading this, and we read just a couple of the verses, I said, this would be interesting to do on a Sunday. And I just kind of thought about that. And then I thought I was going in a direction yesterday, but maybe that will be down the road. I don't know. But for whatever reason, we're here, the last days. And we are in the last days.
But then this morning he tells me we're probably going to read at least 2.5 chapters, which means I'm going to be reading out loud 2.5 chapters. And I'm like, it's all Roger's fault.
Well, now you know whose fault it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Roger will take the blame. He's a big guy. He can handle it, right? Yeah. So, the idea of the last days, that's kind of what I wanted to communicate, because, there's scriptures that some individuals will quote, and they make it sound like just these right here are the last days. And so maybe the Holy Spirit's intent is to just bring balance to that whole communication, what the last days means. Okay? So hopefully we got enough scriptures to do it. So do you want to start reading the full book of Timothy? No, I'm just kidding. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7.
Okay, starting at verse 1. But I understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy.
Okay, so just stop for there for a second. I mean, you just read this, and I mean, it sounds like we're in this day here. That this is the last days, because lovers of self, I mean, have we ever seen a generation that's more lovers of self? I mean, selfies, that we are the generation of the selfies. Not that selfies are necessarily a bad thing, but they identify in society a need for self, approval, self-worth, self-appreciation. What?
Entitlement.
Self-entitlement. And I know that, some people, take, on other, Instagram and stuff like that, it's all about, presenting yourself so that, you look the very best, and, there's nothing wrong with looking your best. But my point being is that there is a correlation between these scriptures and the lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. I mean, you can watch, videos on YouTube, you can see all of these things being displayed. So continue. Sorry.
Heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth.
So you notice that I underline that last part. And I believe that this is one of the things that is happening with our society, that we are always learning, And with this particular group, because we'll see that the last days isn't just today, just not the time we live in. But if you look, this idea of gaining knowledge, and I mean, people are always, gaining. I mean, you just turn on, your device. I mean, it's. I was just thinking about this again yesterday, maybe it was this morning, that I have the ability within, 30 seconds to bring up every scripture that has to do with not just one word, but a full phrase. And then not only can I look at that phrase in every place in the Bible, within a couple minutes, but I can also grab another word out of that and then do an entire search on the root word of that in Hebrew or Greek. I mean, you know, that's an amazing amount of ability to gain knowledge. But the problem is we can learn, and, you know, you've probably been around people that are so school smart that they have no common sense. You know, that happens a lot in industries. You know, people come out of college and they've got all these things that they've been taught in college, but have no practical application sometimes in the real world. And so, you know, they come out of college and sometimes they have to just be totally retrained because for that specific, you know, job that they're going into, they're not ready, you know.
And the retraining is painful for them because they're thinking, oh, you know, look at me, I'm all that in a bag of chips. And then they go into this job with this boss that is under the, you know, the opposite impression that you are here to impress me. You are here to work for me. You're not here because you got the job. You're here because I let you get the job. And so with that being said, I almost want to replace the "and" in that last scripture with a "but." Always learning, but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Not that I need to change it, because I don't want to do that in the word. But do you understand what I mean? Like, we can always learn about God, but we are never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth, depending on our willingness, depending on what we do, depending on who we are, and depending on how hungry actually we are for truth in our own lives, in our own hearts. That deep crying out to deep. That's it right there. That's it right there. It's his way of teaching us to know him in a deep way. And my deep may not be the same as Tara's deep. My deep may not be the same as Mike's deep, or, you know, Phyllis's. It's everybody's deep is different. Mm-hmm. Because some may already have gone to where I'm going, and they've been there, done that, and got the embossed T-shirt, but I haven't. So my deep may be very different. But if we are encouragers of one another, we're going to encourage one another in this, and not be the ones that are never able to arrive. We want to encourage one another to arrive at that point. That's where God wants us to be.
Well, before I go to my next point, it says here in the Complete Jewish Bible, Jesse. Yeah, it's his like Bible of choice. Who are always learning, but never able to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Whoop, whoop. So that conjunction can be read either way. So, but getting back to what I was going to say is if you look at this, it says at a knowledge, well, never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And so how can you always be learning but never know the truth of what you're learning? Because the truth is Christ. The truth, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So, and Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So the only way that you can truly get away from all of that previous stuff is to come to a full knowledge of Christ, a full knowledge of Holy Spirit, full knowledge of God. Yeah. And the only way that you do that is acknowledging him in your life and giving him full access and room to work. Come, Lord Jesus. That's what it is. Holy Spirit. It's that. It's having an open heart, like an open vessel that can be fully filled. Mm-hmm. And being able to drink from living waters because of that. That's awesome. I don't know how we're going to get through all this. Just us doing that. But we will see what we do here, won't we? Okay. So now we're in 1 Timothy, right?
No, Acts 2.
Acts 2. See, I don't even know where. Okay, Acts 2. Yes, Acts 2.
17 through 21. And in the last days it shall be...
Stop. Just a second. Now let me... I'm sorry, I should have prefaced this. This is Peter on the day of Pentecost describing to all those that were blown away by their activity of praying in the Holy Spirit and prophesying and declaring the glories of God.
Tongues.
Huh?
hearing their own tongues.
Hearing their own languages, and hearing the praises of God from this group that was in this upper room. And I mean, quite a commotion was created, and thousands of people were wanting to know what was going on. And Peter stood up, and he wanted to quote from the book of Joel by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter was not, a Bible teacher by any means. This was Holy Spirit inspiring him to say these words. And notice what he says, "and in the last days." And he was talking about their time. So go ahead.
"And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
So here we have Peter declaring that it was written in Joel hundreds of years before, that in the last days, these days that I'm speaking about. So when Peter communicated to the church, because they became the church after that, about 3,000 souls were added after that, he was communicating to them that you're in the last days. So basically, from the time of Jesus going to the cross and then resurrecting into his place of glory, seated at the right hand of the Father, we began the last days. And so, could there be the last of the last days? Obviously there are. There's always, the last, 10 minutes of the last day of your day, right? So I tend to think that even though when we talk about the last days, we're talking about a timeline that is from Jesus to right is our now. But I believe, that the clock is ticking for an event. Something that us as Christians look for, the second coming of the Lord, his return, his glorious appearing, some scriptures call it. And that is what he is talking about in verse 20. "The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." See, again, I love that. He's telling them how you get saved. You call upon the name of the Lord. Sing, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." That's simple. If you do it with a pure heart and a right meaning, guess what? You're in, because it's just calling upon his name. "I need your help. Help me, Jesus." It could be that simple. "Help me, Jesus." Or it could be that you see his wondrous works and you start following him as I did.
And all several right. disciples.
And several disciples did it that way. Yep. Okay, 1 Timothy, here we go. 1 Timothy 4:1-3.
"Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth."
So again, here we have Paul communicating to Timothy in his first letter, which was probably before his second letter. But he's telling him that now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times. Now, this word "latter" here is a little bit different than "last." It's only used, I think, two times in the Bible, and it literally means the last of the last. So this could be speaking specifically about the times that we're in, or the last 100 years, or, because as we'll see, timing to God and us is like different. Who would have thought that, right? I know as I'm getting older, time to me seems different. The years just are going like this. I mean, how many are going already? It's like almost Christmas.
Yeah.
But it was just New Year's, it seems like a couple days ago. I mean, it's, right?
Yeah.
Somebody, or it seemed like we were just doing this, getting the tree out and trimming it and everything last year.
Yeah, somebody said
it was really
to me,
the last couple of days
just
ago.
This week, I don't even know who it was, but they said, like, now you guys are like the matriarchs and patriarchs of the family, right? Like, yes, we are. Thank you very much for reminding me.
Exactly. It's how uncouth. I mean,
yeah.
We don't act our age, do we?
It does feel weird to be that last generation of our family. I mean, you know, the end of the line, and then there's more coming down, obviously. But we are the next. We are the next. I mean, the next rung.
We're the one they're looking to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless their hearts that they're looking to us. That's not good.
Oh, Jesus, help them. But it's only because we believe and know the truth that they can look at us and hopefully overlook, you know, the bad and see the good of Jesus in us. And that's our prayer.
Amen. So one more thing about this scripture. This is very interesting because, again, even though we could see some of this stuff going on, that's what was happening during Paul's time. They were being forbidden to eat certain types of foods. And Paul was saying, no, you're free. You're free because Christ has brought you out of the law. You're no longer restricted from eating ham or from eating lobster or, you know, other types of foods that were considered unclean. So again, even though this could mean our days, it was also applicable in their time. Okay, Isaiah 2:2-5. Told you a lot of scripture.
It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Amen. It shall come to pass in latter days. So again, in the latter days, that the Lord's mountain, and the mountains in the word usually meant authority, government, kingdoms, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, that his mountain will be exalted above every other mountain. And that those who see that mountain will be drawn to that mountain, and they will come to that mountain. Now, could that mean a physical mountain somewhere here on earth someday? It can be that. But also, I want to tell you that when Christ was elevated to seat at the right hand of God, his enemies became his footstool. Even though he did not see every enemy in that state, the work was finished. It was done. And so you and I, as we were given the light of the glorious gospel into our hearts, we started walking towards his mountain, and we're in that progress right now. We're coming to the Lord. We're moving, working out our salvation with fear and trembling all the time. And others that we communicate with and say, hey, the mountain's a good kind of mountain. This kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's not like this world's kingdom that's fading and dying and corrupted and you know, and being overrun by evil individuals. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. That's a lot of everlasting. You know, it wasn't just everlasting. It was everlasting to everlasting, which I love that, because it means even after the everlasting, there's another everlasting.
And what happens in between those two everlastings? Real life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We
and how many of us, though, take that? I mean, you know, you think everlasting to everlasting is like up here and up here. And it's like, and then life happens. And then we tend to be the ones to go in the middle. Like when bad things happen, and but to be found in him means that we can make the jump between everlasting to everlasting without allowing all of these things. They're going to affect us, but they're not going to be able to pull our spirits down like the enemy would want them to be, because we have God within us. Like it says, it'll come to pass latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established. Well, he's in me. And if everlasting to everlasting is in me, then that should sustain me.
Amen.
And not allow me to take that dip that I've taken so many times. And today's a learning thing for me, because I've allowed myself to do that. That dip so deep down that every emotion has gone there, every hurt, every pain, I've wallowed in, I've swam in it, I've lived there in the dredge and the nastiness of that dip when I didn't have to. I didn't have to go there. I could have just with the Lord just, you know, surpassed all that and gone, because the enemy is the one that wants us to take that dip down in.
The low road.
The low down. He's the one that wants to draw us down there. But Jesus is saying, oh, no. You don't even have to go there. You don't even have to think there. Your thoughts can be so pure because I am pure and I'm in you. Your hearts can be so full that fullness is almost like a helium balloon that carries you from everlasting to everlasting. You don't have to go down there. You don't have to do that dip anymore. That's good news today.
Amen. And this goes along with it. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, not let us walk in our own, you know, circumstances, our own situations. Let us walk in his light. Yeah. Let us walk in his truth. Amen. 1 Peter
1:17-22. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.
Amen. So you've been ransomed, it says here in verse... Where is that? 18. Knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, from your ways of having to be in the dredges and the lowliness of life, that we inherited that from our forefathers. We inherited that from our sin nature. So we've been ransomed not with perishable things, not with things that, again, are going to corrupt or decay, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Like the lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times. So again, this is Peter again, the last days, the last times he was manifested. So you could even say that even in Jesus' day, when he was walking this earth, the last days were starting. Mm-hmm. Now, it's been going for a while. I mean, because, you know, you read the New Testament scriptures, and they sounded like it was going to wrap up pretty soon. You know, most of them are saying, okay, well, the Lord's coming back real soon. You know, and I'm sure if we had Paul here today, it's like, I thought it was a lot sooner than it was going to be, guys. But believe me, it's fast. Compared to what you're dealing with here, it's going to be really quick. You know, in other words, it's just going to be like that. Yeah. In the whole scheme of your being, your existence, it's going to be like that. But it seems like a long, drawn-out time.
Yeah, we were actually at a friend's house on Friday night. And they just had a brand new baby girl. And he said when they were walking out of the doctors walked out and just left them as a little family. He all of a sudden started saying, oh, no. It's going to be prom, and it's going to be wedding, and it's going to be. He started getting all caught up in the stuff, and he's like, "Wait, I haven't even changed the first diaper yet." You know, we have that way of doing that, but let me just tell you, it is going to come quickly before we even know it. It's going to come, and I'm excited for that. I'm like, okay, let it come on, Jesus, let's go. Like, I'm ready for that. It can't come soon enough for me. And, but some people that brings fear into their heart,
mm-hmm.
but we don't live by fear. Like that song that we were saying, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to that kind of fear. I am a child of God. And remember I told you about that picture that I got about the, he's on the cross, but there's like an IV line, the blood is flowing out of him, flowing down through the generations and flowing into me. My blood was tainted, and my blood's being transfused with his very blood.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the last days are coming. I'm excited for it, but don't let fear raise up in you. Let it just say, hey, Jesus, you know, I want to live beyond that fear. I want to live where. I'm not a slave to it any longer. Where I can actually, like, you know, I could just stand up and do a jig right now. It's so exciting because we live like sometimes that our Christianity is Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, dun, me, oh dun, my.
You know, like we live that way, but it's not that way at all. And it's like, wake up, people. You know, it's like you just want to just wake them up and say, God's coming. And what are you doing? And what are you doing it for? Is it for you? It's like we read before, you know, is it self-seeking or is it for him? And that doesn't mean that you have to give up your job, give up your husband, give up your kids and just walk this path of being a nun and all the crosses and all that. That's not where Jesus is at. He's not into wanting you to do that, but the depth of your heart, crying out to the depth of his heart, out of that will flow the ableness to love your spouse, to love your kids, to do what he's called you to do. Every single one of us has a calling on our life. Every single one of us. It may not look the same.
Oh, it doesn't look the same.
At all.
No.
But it is there. And you can deny it all you want. But it doesn't change the fact that he has a plan. And that last day, his hopes and his dreams for you is that you will be there dancing that jig with Pastor Gay in the middle of the, you know, the pearly gates and into the streets of gold and all of that stuff. Just because he made a way where there seemed to be no way. He's the one that did that. He's the one. Not me setting up a table and taking down a table and cleaning up after an event. Not me, like this one prophet said, you know, stand in the corner and stack BBs on my head. Like, That's not why. The serving part comes out of the heart of love, but the heart of love has to come first.
Amen.
That depth of, oh, I just love him so much. Like, I just wish we could get it that he loves you so much. And have you missed out on the plan that he's had for you? And are you ready for it now? Like, it's like, oh, that today would be the day that you could just feel and hear and know today's the changing point in my life.
Mm.
I hear his call on my name. I'm not going to deny it anymore. I'm going to say yes to what his plan is for my life. Then I remember being a teenager saying, Lord, please don't come. I want to get married first. I want to get married first. And then when I got married, then the prayer was, oh, Lord, please don't come until I have my first baby. Please don't come until my... Well, now we're like grandparents of seven, and I'm like,
come, Lord Jesus, come.
I'm ready.
That's funny. Final verse. Final chapter. No, it's not chapter, but it's quite a bit. Go ahead.
Which one is it?
Oh, it's 2 Peter 3, 3 through 4, 8 through 13.
Okay.
New Living Translation for Jesse up there so he can understand.
Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth. Is that not it? Have you not seen it already? Mocking the truth and following their own desires, they will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created.
So pause here for a moment. So in the last days, scoffers, people who are going to be basically scoffing you, scoffing your beliefs, scoffing God's plans and purposes, and mocking the truth, making fun of it. I mean, they're all over YouTube, you know. There's people who say, you know, God's not real, you know, Jesus, you know, basically was just a man just walking the earth, just a good man, and people got confused. I mean, there's all kinds of mocking teaching out there. And they're following their own desires, they're following their own ways. They're believing a lie, the whole idea of the earth that somehow came from nothing into all of this. I just have to ask you, has anybody ever seen a stick of dynamite go off? Did you see it build a house when it was done? After it blew up the hole, did you see all the rocks land over and build a house? No, you created chaos. Yet from the most massive explosion that blows away dynamite, all of this divine order came in. And I just challenge you to go and study a little bit about how far the earth is from the sun and how far the moon is from the earth and the size and specifics of the moon to the earth and the sun. And you start looking at all those numbers that continually show up and relationships that completely show up just in our little earth and sun and moon rotation, not to mention the entire universe. This is a systematic designed place. And in the fullness of time, Christ came in our time. But it's not an accident, like they say.
It didn't just happen.
So what happened to the promise? What happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? You know, I can read, you know, those scriptures in the New Testament, and again it sounded like his return was imminent. From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was created. Now, there's a few verses here that I for just time purposes, 5, 6, and 7, which is talking about the flood. But I wanted to get back to verse 8, so go ahead with verse 8.
But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really isn't being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake, my sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent.
So Peter's saying, listen, number one, 1,000 years of our time is like one day to God. And I mean, you know, and that's probably just a way to explain it so that we can at least relate to it some way. You know, I mean, it would be hard for us to relate, you know, to God's timing. But if you think about it, if it's 1,000 years is like a day, then we've only been 2 days in this last day. Last day. So it's been a couple of days to God.
Yeah.
Now, you go back in history and you see all the things that happen. It just seems like a long time. You know, you have the Crusades, you know, you have Napoleon, you have the whole start of America. I mean, it looks like a lot of time has passed. But to God, it's like nothing. And not because he's slack in his promises of returning. That's not what it is. It's because he does not want anyone to be destroyed or perish, but wants everyone to come to a place of repentance, changing their hearts and their minds to follow God.
Mm-hmm. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness.
So the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, that we read about that magnificent day. We read about that day when there's going to be, you know, individuals that have beat their you know, weapons into farming utensils. That they're not, there's not going to be any need for war anymore because the war will cease. I mean, that's hard for us to relate to in this environment, you know. I mean, love, yeah, love is the answer, but how long does it take for love to finally get into people? Well, they have to get to a place where they're ready to yield and surrender their lives. But the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. As much as, you know, we say, oh, it's been taking a long time. I mean, for us, here, we never know if we have tomorrow. And that would be like a day of the Lord for us, because now we're meeting him face to face. We're now having to, you know, give an account for what gifts we've been given, what life we've been given. Have we honored the gift of life that the Lord put inside of us, that treasure that we have in earthen vessels? The heavens will pass away, and basically, it's just talking about that there's going to be a transformation that takes place where there's not going to be an earth and heavens like we have now. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And looking forward to this day and hurrying it along, some that I think some of us like, come, Lord Jesus. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth. Are you looking forward to the new heavens and new earth? Or are you really satisfied with everything that's here? Maybe just the all the fun technology and, I mean, and all the, you know, the things that we get to do, you know, all the entertainment. I mean, but folks, it's nothing compared to Christ's kingdom, yeah. Christ's dominion when he sets it up, when something that is everlasting to everlasting starts taking place. We will be fulfilled. And there will be great joy in our hearts, I believe. So, expectantly, and with understanding, look for the last days when Jesus comes. Realize that you're in the last days now. And that the last day started when Christ came. That was the start of the last days. And that it hasn't been that long to God. It's been a couple of days of these last days. Does anyone have anything to share? Jesse, do you have anything to share? He's like always into the last days. So, anyone else? Anyone else have anything burning on their heart from this? I know it's a lot of scripture. It's like, whoa.
That's good.
And anybody need like clarification? No one needs clarification. This was just like fully understood and received. Awesome. Well, praise God. Well, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity again to gather together. And Lord, I pray that your word that's been shared today, Lord, would go deep into our hearts. Lord, that it would produce, Lord, a reality of knowing you greater. Not just knowing about the last days or knowing how they all work out, but knowing the truth, Lord, of the last days, and that's you. Lord, that you're the reason that we're here. You're the reason that we have breath. as we sang in the song, Lord, it's your breath in our lungs, and we sing back to you, and we live for you daily, Lord. So I just bless everyone that's here today, everyone that hears my voice, Lord, that you would increase their life, Lord, in these last days, that you would bring increase of your supernatural empowerment, your supernatural wisdom and understanding, your grace and your mercy, Lord, your peace and your joy. Lord, just allow those attributes that come from your kingdom to grow in all of us in a supernatural way. And let it be manifested, Lord, in a reality way, Lord, with those that we come in contact with daily. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ladies, I want to remind you that this Thursday night is our movie night at my house. So we're going to meet at 6 o'clock. Everybody's bringing a snack. And please, if you can come, just either text me on my phone or leave a voicemail if I'm at work and you don't do texting. Just leave a voicemail that you're coming. But please invite your friends, invite whoever. But it is for girls, just us girls getting together. And I have the movie arrived, or the comedy hour arrived. And I have it, and he's already got it downloaded. So we're ready to roll. So this Thursday night at 6 o'clock at my house, next door. Everybody's bringing a snack to share.
Oh, good.
Okay, yeah.
So there will be food.
There will be food.
So I can pilt.
You're not a girl.
Bless you.
Yeah, but you can sneak us some food, can't you?
I'm sure he can.
Okay.
He always does.